Son, today is a very special day for me, because today I'm going to hand over to you in the rightful line of succession. To you, Obadiah, my son, the tools of our great craft. What my father for me, and his father for him, and his father for his father for his father for his...
Dad, I appreciate the solemnity of this moment, and I am proud to be the one to carry on the great tradition from a great craftsman, my old dad.
Very nice of you to say so.
No, Dad, don't you take on so. I'm ready to take on my responsibilities in the great craft.
Then, Obadiah, my son, here's my own crimson horse. And here be my own Irish Nerdlin hammer.
Oh, Dad, your very own Grindlin fork. And your special Nerdlin hammer. I tell you, Dad, I'll always try to live up to the tenets of our ancient craft. I swear it by the great Grindlin fork and the sacred Nerdlin hammer. By Thor, the first toolmaker and his great tools.
Oh, dear. See that you keep faith with the old one.
The old ones, Dad. I'll not forget. I'll always respect the old ones.
Oh, Lord, guide this my son Obadiah, young hands, in the wise old ways of the old craft. In the path of righteousness, and by the tenets and lords of our ancient craft. So mote it be.
So mote it be, Dad. Thank you, Dad. I'll go and change now, Dad.
And the gods be with thee, lad, in all the trials and the tribulations of our great and ancient craft.
All right, Dad, I'm ready now.
And go forth, Obadiah. Go forth,
Dad. Right, nurse. I'll see Mrs. Robinson next. Oh, and I'll need the x-rays of her upper left molars. Oh, and nurse, sterilize these instruments. They're bloody filthy.
One, two, three. And this is Roger Fudgenuckle reporting on the Paris riots. Deadline Paris for the BBC. Well, it's the calm before the storm, as well as the calm after last night's storm. Apparently, it is calm, but of course, there is a tremendous air of tension. The atmosphere is electric. So far, there have been no actual fires, but the feeling is in the air. Just one false move from the wrong people at the right moment, or the right people at the wrong moment, and Paris could well be burning. Don't be deceived by the apparent calm and the fact that no one appears to be on the streets. Behind every corner, people could well be lurking. Even the cleverly concealed strategic outposts of the Guard Mobile are invisible to the naked eye. At first, and even at a second glance, this great avenue appears deserted, but that, of course, is an illusion. I am sure that machine gun posts are set up everywhere. This could well be a mobile unit of the Guard Mobile. Because they are a mobile, or as we say, a mobile. Now, this is Clyde Quigley, your on-the-spot NBC news reporter, to bring you live satellite coverage of the disastrous Paris riots, which have set Paris aflame with revolutionary fervor. The cry is, "Oh, barricade! For the barricade!" That's it, man. This is my spot. I'm BBC, Roger Fudgenuckle, Bill Chef. That's good.
Flatten your lip, Buster. This is my pitch. NBC always covers these frog capers from here. It's our avenue, meathead. Move along.
Not deserve. Oh, rotten little gutter slot. Oh,
Christ. You're a bestial imperialist.
Oh, yes. Back
and come out. That's nothing for you. You son of a bitch. Kowalski. Move this truck.
All right, I'm ready. Daddy, how do you think you're doing, you stupid git? You
hey!
Bloody truck!
Drop on the limey!
Close the door of the truck, Big Joe!
Okay, Louie.
I say, that's my sister!
Oh, wait,
that is Charlie! Have a fuck! Get me! Get off me! Get off me!
Voici, Pierre Carreau, d'actualité de Radio Diffusion.
Allô, salut.
Alors, mes amis, quel juste au point de la paix, pendant les négociations entre les syndicats et le gouvernement, une autre explosion de la violence. Êtes-vous socialiste, communiste? Non, vous, monsieur, êtes-vous communiste?
All the hell are you, follow me, a communist, you drunk son of a bitch! Oh, what a bad boy!
And now here is the heartwarming story of a great star of the theatre, films and TV. A tribute to Sir Claude Coote. His story starts just before the First World War, when his father, a prominent lawyer in Lower Groping, sent for him.
Come in, Claude. I want to talk to you about your future.
Oh, splendid, Father. Well,
sit down, lad, sit down. Boy, over there. No, over here.
Oh, right, Father.
No, no, come to think of it, you're better off seated over there.
Oh, yes, Father, yes.
Now, Claude, I have carefully considered your future, and I feel you have two choices. Either to follow in my distinguished footsteps and become a lawyer.
Oh, absolutely.
Or to become an artist, like your dear mother.
Oh, good heavens, no.
Very artistic woman, your mother. Very forceful, too. Very forceful.
Mothers are...
Yes, yes, yes. So that's what you want to be, eh? Just like a mother. An actress. Yeah. Or rather, an actor.
No, not for a minute, Father.
Yes. So I'm sending you to London, Claude, to an old friend of your mother's. None other than that great actor-manager, Sir Henry Irving.
Sir Henry who?
Oh, don't thank me, my boy. I'm glad to be able to clear this little matter up. You're to see Sir Henry on Monday, 9 o'clock sharp. Now, don't be late.
Yes, but I don't want to be
late. Don't be late, boy. Glad we've had this little chat. Here's the air.
But, Father, I want
to... Cut along now, my boy. Shut the door on the way out. I'm very busy. Very busy.
So Claude Coote came to London to Drury Lane, where Sir Henry Irving was casting a new play, King Arthur.
Excuse me. Coote, sir. Claude.
Ah, yes. Sir Cuthbert's son. Yes, he wrote me about you, Claude. So, you want to be an actor, eh?
No, sir, a lawyer. I want
to be... Not only an actor. You have ambitions to be an actor-manager like myself.
Well, I've never thought about it, sir, really.
Well, there's no time like the present. Go up on the stage, lad, and say something. And we'll see if you have the voice of an actor.
Yes, sir.
Pick up, lad. Let's hear you.
Sir Henry.
Louder, lad, louder.
Sir Henry. I must...
That's not bad. Still louder, boy. The gallery have paid to hear you as well. They're entitled to hear you too, you know.
Sir Henry, I must make it clear.
You will. Yes, you will, lad. Nice appearance, good strong body. Fine legs, a pair of tights. Yes, loud voice. You'll do nicely for that small part in Act 3. All right, lad, you're engaged. We start rehearsals tomorrow.
But I don't want to be...
Don't thank me, Claude. I saw you for your father's sake, but I've given you the part for your own. We'll make an actor out of you yet, boy.
Sir Henry, please.
Sorry, lad. No advances on salary. We'll get paid on Friday like the rest of the cast. Good morning.
3 weeks later, Claude Coote opened in Sir Henry Irving's now famous masterpiece, King Arthur. His leading lady was that beautiful and forceful actress, Bernadette Fortinbras.
Your Majesty, give me but one word of hope, of encouragement, to tell me that one day I may be your slave. I, Guinevere, implore thee.
Guinevere!
Sire, at start today and tomorrow you're going to be with a word of comfort. When will be our wedding day?
As soon as...
Oh, Arthur! Tell me you love your adoring Guinevere.
I adore...
I will be. Die, please. Love and peace.
Claude Coote's rise to theatrical fame and fortune had begun. His next role as Gideon Playfair in The Miser's Return ensured his future career. Claude's big scene was at the bedside of his dying father, played by Sir Henry Irving himself.
Now, Crumbling, you must eat a little porridge.
Not a bottle shall pass me dying lips. Till I have gazed upon me son, Gideon, for the last time. It is he, my lord. I can hear his heart.
Father!
Gideon! Is that you, dear lad?
I came as quickly.
Quickly. There is not much time. I am dying, Gideon. Dying!
His lordship will not eat, Gideon.
But you must, Father. Eat. Have I of food? When my long-lost son is with me at last. Dear Gideon, to my breast. Let me clutch thee to my breast. Let me embrace thee. At last, dear Lord. My son is home.
Claude Coote had arrived on the West End theatrical scene at last, and his marriage to his leading lady, Bernadette Fortinbras, was the society event of the season.
Do you, Claude Coote, take this woman, Bernadette Amelia Fortinbras, to be your lawful wedded wife?
I
now pronounce you man and wife.
Claude Coote's brilliant career now extended to the cinema. He captured all women's hearts in the noble portrayal of the mysterious Man in the Iron Mask.
So, my noble lord, this is the last time we shall ever meet. What have you to say now?
You, sir, are...
The mask!
Claude Coote even triumphed in westerns. His performance in Custer's Last Stand won him the coveted Oscar.
I don't like it, General. It's too goddamn quiet.
Major, I... Sir, I thought I heard something.
Soon the whole world knew the name Coote.
Oh, you do look like Claude Coote. Oh.
Make love to me. All strong and silent. La Claude Coote.
Help me on with my coote.
Sir Claude Coote, loaded with honours, passed away during the Lord Mayor's banquet.
May lords, ladies and gentlemen, be silence for your guest of honour, Sir Claude Coote. Lady Knight of the Garter.
Ladies and...
Commander of the Order of the British Empire.
Ladies and...
Member... of the Order of the British Empire.
Lady.
Knight of Columba.
Lady.
Member of Parliament for East Gigglesby. Ah!
It is tragic to think of that great voice stilled at last. Never again will we hear that great actor, Sir Claude, my husband, in his famous role.
Will your son Egbert Coote carry on the family theatrical tradition, Lady Coote?
Not of your name.
Naturally. Egbert has a very great talent. Even greater, I believe, than his late father's. He will go to the College of Dramatic Art.
Never, Mother, I...
Then we shall see. I predict a brilliant career for our son. He also knows the value of silence.
Mother!
The supreme power of pantomime. The unspoken word. The gesture. The character of the strong, silent man.
Go on, for it, Mother!
Oh,
Bloody cow!
And with us, we have Sir Miles Behind, the famous industrial economist and cigarette card collector. And he's going to tell us what's wrong with British industry.
Yes, well, it's all rather complicated. This chart clearly lays out the graphic representation of all the main points. I'll just pin it up here so that you can see. Cork surface on this wall isn't thick enough. Perhaps you have a longer drawing pin.
What do you think you're doing, mate?
Well, I'm putting up the wall chart. What's wrong with that?
Oh, I'll tell you what's bleeding wrong with it, mate. It's your differentials. No precise definition on the exact lines of demarcation. You, mate, have no right to start sticking up wall charts. I'm the prop man, and that's my job, so lay off. Let me...
I'm sorry, I'll leave it to you then.
Yes, be a good chap and stick it. I mean, stick it up on the wall for us.
Right, mate. Yes, about here.
Hello, hello, hello. This court wall surface ain't thick enough. I'll need hammer and nails.
I'm sorry, mate. You can't do that. Your props and studio decoration. What you and Dan doing is a studio carpenter's job. And that happens to be mine.
I'm sorry, mate.
That's all right, mate. Just setting the situation to rights. Now then, as this is a prop, i.e. chart, i.e. theatrical property, you, as a studio technician grade 3, are entitled to hold it. But I, a studio carpenter grade 2, will fix it.
Blaster, mate, that's what's wrong. This wall behind the cork flooding should be timber.
Which says so?
I say so. I'm the studio carpenter.
Well, I'm the studio plasterer. I plastered that wall under Rule 5, subsection 23. It's plaster, and you don't eat plaster with bloody hammers. Over here, this is the section you want. Here, bang it in there, mate. That's timber under there.
But I can't see the chart from here. I'm not there.
Then ready well move yourself over here, mate. Hit it, mate. Fire! You hit the bloody water pipe.
I'll try and stuff it with my door.
No, well, I'm the plumber.
It needs a good arm bang in here.
No, but you're bloody nilly, mate. What have you done, you flippin' amateur?
I'm a grade 2 carpenter.
You're a flippin' bloody idiot, mate. A flippin' bloody idiot.
Yes, perhaps you could come again next week and tell us what's gone wrong with British industry. And now for a really great treat. We're going to have as our guest Stanislav Sitakosis, the great Romanian singer. A huge man with the greatest bass voice since Charlie Arpin. Charlie Arpin. The BBC Male Voice Choir is ready here on the 7th floor of Broadcasting House to greet him with a rousing chorus from Uje No Needing.
Is the choir ready?
Yes, I can hear him coming up in the lift. All 300 pounds. Oh, well, that's show business.
I am delighted to say that we have now completed the formal arrangements for the opening of our new international New York to Moscow airway. The inaugural Moscow-New York flight will take place, I understand, on May 1st. Our spring holiday, and the first Tupolev airliner from Soviet Russia will be met by a courtesy flight of F-16 interceptor fighters and escorted all the way from mid-Atlantic to cross the east coast of these United States at this point here. The coastline of Maine at this point of landfall is both rugged and deserted. But an excellent navigational aid for exactly determining the aircraft position are these clearly sighted anti-aircraft coastal defenses, consisting of our new and deadly ground-to-air Bald Eagle missiles. The Russian jetliner will then proceed down the new airway to Kennedy Airport, once again easily following its track by observing the batteries of high-altitude, multi-barreled anti-aircraft guns that line either side of the route. At Kennedy Airport, the disembarking passengers will be greeted by the welcoming combined choirs of the FBI and the CIA, and express processing of their papers and their luggage will be carried out in our newly redecorated immigration lounge on Ellis Island.
Our plans for the arrival of the so-called reciprocal goodwill flight by an American wide-bodied jetliner from the decadent the Democratic People's Republic of the United States of America are not quite so elaborate. In order to facilitate the crossing of the frontiers of our glorious Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, we have established a new 5-year airway plan. We have decreed that a clearly marked air corridor, which we have named the Ishtak-Newtonsky Corridor, after the great Russian scientist who discovered the law of gravity, will commence at our extreme western border, at the frontier town of Raiskovsky, the birthplace of Vilbersky and Orvilovich Raiskovsky, the great Georgian pioneers of heavier-than-air flight. From then on, until the American jetliner lands at the Moscow International Airport, there will be no elaborate so-called air security arrangements, provided that the American jetliner keeps exactly to the Ishtak-Newtonsky air corridor. Should, however, the navigation of the American airliner prove to be at fault, then, regrettably, the aircraft will have entered Soviet-restricted military airspace and will immediately be destroyed. According, of course, to the terms of the unratified Helsinki Agreement, by our latest mass batteries of the new satellite-controlled deadly Moisha Pipik missile.
No way! How long is this new air corridor?
1,200 miles exactly.
And how wide? 2 feet.
When I was a boy, I was brought up on those films about Darkest Africa and Gallant White Hunters, where dim, tight khaki-shirted, extremely busty British beauties seem to endlessly trip over rather short-sighted rhinoceroses and generally get plucked from other wild animal peril by the muscle-bound hunter heroes on safari. You know the sort of thing. Various film versions of King Solomon's Mines.
Mr. Waterman, where are you, Mr. Waterman?
Lady Cynthia, I'm over here, this way. Follow my voice.
Thank heavens I found you, Mr. Waterman. What a lovely evening it is.
Lady Cynthia, you shouldn't be out here alone, you know. The jungle may look beautiful, but it's really no place for a woman not alone. Where is your husband?
My husband, well, I left him asleep back at the cabin. He's got a touch of gout.
Oh, really?
Poor Percy.
Yeah.
Too much port.
Yeah.
He's all right, you know, but he's just not young. He needs lots of sleep, you know, when you're getting on.
Yes, of course. Well, he shouldn't have let you come out on your own, you know. It's far too dense.
Oh, I mean, that's all right.
Yeah.
I feel so safe with you, Mr. Waterman.
Really?
I mean, you're so strong.
Yes, I am.
So terribly strong.
Yeah.
Oh, kiss me, Alan.
Lady Cynthia, you're a lovely, vibrant young woman here alone with me, a lonely man in the beauty of the jungle evening.
Yes, Alan. Yes.
Don't move.
Yes,
don't move, Lady Cynthia. As you value your life, don't move a muscle. It's a deadly snail spider. One bite from those terrible fangs and you're dead. Don't move, my dear. Don't move. Don't move a muscle.
Oh, my God. No! It's all right.
Calm yourself, my dear. There. It's all there. You're quite safe. You're in my arms.
Oh, Alan. Oh, my dear. Alan. Woo! I owe you my life. I'm yours, Alan.
Yes.
Take me.
The lady, sit here. I'm a man, and you're a woman, and don't move, my dear. If life is dear to you, my dear, don't move. Lady Cynthia, it's a giant python, the most deadly snake in the jungle. Don't move a muscle. And then you keep absolutely still, rigid as an iron bar. Don't stir. Stir. Right. Right there.
Oh, my God.
It's all right, my dear. It's all right, Lady.
Oh, my God. It's all right, my dear.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes. Steady on, old girl. A miss is as good as a mile. Yeah, rest against this tree for a moment and catch your breath. You'll be all right, my dear. Oh, Lady Cynthia, if only you knew how I've dreamed of this moment, how I've longed for it, how I want you. Oh, my God, how I want you.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
Oh, Jamie, love me, Alan.
I've much more to say to you, Lady Cynthia, my beautiful darling.
You are
that one.
Tell me, what is in your heart? Speak those words.
Don't move, Lady Cynthia. It's an enormous monster gorilla. He could tear you in pieces with two of his fingers. Don't move, my darling. Not a muscle. Not an inch. Stay absolutely still, my darling.
Don't move,
Lady Cynthia.